like to greet you this morning in the precious name of Christ. By the blood that he shed on the cross, we have this forgiveness of sin. By his resurrection from the dead, we have this blessed hope of life eternal. It would be my desire that you would find something in this message that would be just for you, that you could take and use to help in the days to come. Perhaps a small nugget of God's truth, a little gem of his mercy, something hidden just for you. The title of this message is, This Statistic Doesn't Age Well, and the text comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And we'll read that right now, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the first 8 verses. Says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire is no longer stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. So the older the man, the harder the heart. The older the man, the harder the heart. This expression is true medically. As we age, our physical hearts can get tougher. Our arteries begin to harden and perhaps clog. And chest pains can lead to emergency surgery. Some of you have experienced that happening. But I think this statement is very true spiritually as well. The older you become, having lived apart from Christ, the harder your spiritual heart becomes to accept his truth. Your soul becomes coarse. Your soul becomes hardened. Statistically, as an old person, I mean anybody over the age of 30, as being old, you are more likely to die of a heart attack than convert to Christianity. The Google AI overview agrees with this statement by summarizing, in old age, a person is significantly more likely to have a heart attack than to convert to Christianity. Heart attack risk increases substantially with age, while the likelihood of a person converting to a new faith decreases sharply after early adulthood. An article from the Gospel-Shaped Family entitled, When Do Americans Become Christians? Says, the article says, a survey from the National Association of Evangelicals found that 63% of individuals become a Christian between the age of 4 and 14, with the median age being 11. That same survey also found that 34% of individuals become a Christian between the age of 15 and 29. According to this study, 97% of individuals become a Christian before the age of 30. It goes on to say, in case that didn't register, that's 97% become a Christian before the age of 30. That means if you asked 100 people when they became a Christian, 63 became Christians between the age of 4 and 14, 34 became Christians between the age of 15 and 29, and only 3 out of 100 after the age of 30. That's a surprising statistic. I find it rather heartbreaking, mainly because I know many old people over 30 who are good people. Nice people. They do good things. But instead of growing closer to Christ as they age, they actually are drifting further and further away. The hardening of their hearts is both physical and, sadly, spiritual. On answering a question that was posed to him about the danger of living in disobedience throughout one's life, Billy Graham responded, and this is him speaking here, why does it become harder for someone to come to Christ as the years go by? The question says, the main reason is because the more we turn away from God, the more insensitive our hearts grow to him. The Bible warns, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. That's Proverbs 29:1. He says, God loves you, and he doesn't want you to spend eternity apart from him. He loves you so much that Christ was willing to die for your salvation by a simple prayer of faith He says, confess your sins to him today and ask him to forgive and save you. You will never regret making your decision for Christ. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. End quote. So returning to our scripture at hand, why does the writer of Ecclesiastes instruct us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth? The word remember is meant literally to mark so as to be recognized. So when we remember something, we mark it so as to be recognized. I like to think of it as saying, essentially, experience the one who created you while you are still young. It is emphasizing, if possible, a personal experience with God at a time when you are most receptive, statistically, to his call. Now, I think the writer, who was probably Solomon, knew the heartbreaking tendency to disregard God the older one got. I think he displayed that in his own life. Now, in his day, he didn't have national pollsters, publishing trends, or AI overviews, but he knew well enough his own experience and the experience of those around him and could make this proclamation. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The fact is, there is unique opportunity in youth. There is unique opportunity in youth. The openness to trust and have unhindered faith, childlike faith, as Jesus expressed, to have faith as a little child. When trouble comes, as the writer very descriptively communicated, the innocence of youth is lost to a world of difficulty and oftentimes a world of distraction. There is a reason that Christian revival is almost always instituted by the young. So many of you watched the recent film Jesus Revolution, put out by Pastor Greg Laurie. If you didn't, it's a good movie to watch. Greg Laurie, he's now an old man, but the film chronicles his coming to faith as a young man back in the 1900s, when a bunch of young hippies brought about a huge Christian movement that still levies massive influence even today. And it is true, and I think we'll talk about it a little later, this movement, this Jesus movement, Jesus Revolution, was instructed and it was nurtured by older Christians like Chuck Smith, who, at the time this revival happened, was about 40 years old. Yet the revival itself was, by and large, a spiritual revolution among the young. A 1972 study by the Southern Baptist Convention at the height of the Jesus movement showed that over 137,000 of the baptisms were of people between the ages of 12 and 17, underscoring the strong youth element of that revival. Older Christians, myself included, we become the mature and dependable pillars of churches and Christian institutions. Christian men and women of age and experience are the God-given gifts to families and to churches and to ministries. But they, the old people, do not necessarily reflect the age demographic of those who are actually turning to Christ in masses. That would be a much younger crowd. A much younger crowd who need the stable older Christians, the mature Christians, to disciple and teach them. As older people, we are very much needed to impart wisdom and experience and life lessons to a much younger group, those who are coming to faith, to provide them with the opportunities and the platforms. They need places to show off their gifts that God has given them, to grow and use their spiritual giftings. The young should not scare us. They should not frighten us, but rather they should motivate us to be the teachers and leaders that will steer them toward faithful maturity. You know, we hear a lot of talk of what's coming of the country or the society or the culture. I'll give you a little hint. The key to it all is the young. The key is the young. Or perhaps I can pose this reality in another way. I thought it was a good way to look at it. When was the last time you read about a massive Christian revival breaking out in a retirement home and spreading across the country? When was the last time you saw that on the front page news? It's not meant to be an insult or a dig. I'm asking a serious question. Of course, it's certainly not a problem for God to work mightily in any age demographic. He'd do whatever he wants. But there seems to be a very real pattern and tendency that is exhibited in older individuals who have been separated from Christ that seem to inhibit and prevent the breakthrough of the gospel into aging hearts. And I'm saying this as an old person. The age of 30 has long since come and passed. Thank God I made my decision to follow Christ long ago, or I may have been one of the 97% post-30 crowd of uncommitted souls who are wandering around lost. I remember an account from a hairdresser. I cannot recall if it was someone I had personally talked to or if it was a story I had read. But anyway, it's proof that I am getting old. But the question was posed to the hairdresser, whether by me or someone else, I don't know, God knows, was how all the old, this was the question, how all the old gray-headed ladies who sit and get their hair done, how do they generally act? How do they behave? Or what's the conversation about? I assumed that all old women, ladies, were angelic grandmothers. That was my perception. If you had gray hair and big spectacles, you were angelic. But the hairstylist destroyed that assumption. She commented to the effect that the older an unchristian person gets, the harder their heart gets and meaner they become. In essence, older people without Christ don't become happier. They generally become angrier. They don't become nicer with age. That is to say, they don't age like a fine wine, but rather like a moldy grape. That's just the reality. It sounds awful to say, but apart from Christ, there is nothing to keep an old person from increasingly embodying the depressing reality that the writer of Ecclesiastes lays out. Essentially, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase here, the verses is days of trouble are coming upon all of us. If you're young, you will be old. I guarantee it. We can all testify that we were once young. But the writer, and I'm paraphrasing here, the days when you say, I find no pleasure in them. The optimistic light of future endeavors has gone dark and the clouds fill the horizon. When the keeper of the houses, when their hands tremble and the once strong men stoop with antiquity. When the grinding ceases because there are not enough left to operate the mill and everything you see out the window is dim because your eyesight fails. When the doors are closed and the sounds all fade. When men long to hear the sound of birds but they are so deaf they can't hear them anymore. When men are afraid even of small heights and trivial danger, when trivial danger proves fearful, when their hair grows white like the almond blossom or it falls out altogether. When you drag yourself around like a crippled old grasshopper and youthful desire is no longer stirred. That's sort of my paraphrase of those verses. With Christ, this depressing reality, this depressing scene can be faced, because we're all, you know, experiencing it to some degree, it can be faced with the hope and expectation of a new resurrected body fit for a new or a glorious heaven. We can face this rather bleak reality of physical depravity. We can face that with the understanding that Christ has promised us an eternal body, an eternal home. We can face the trials of this life and the unpleasant grinding down of our physical bodies because it is reminding us that this place is not our home. Heaven awaits. We can find solace in that. We can find hope in that and strength in that. But for the unbeliever, there is no such hope. There is no such strength to be derived. No such expectation. The glory of youth is gone, and the hopeless pain and frustration of aging is a constant reminder of their crumbling and decaying reality. When pain and turmoil become your everyday experience, apart from a transforming faith in Christ, you will most likely become increasingly miserable, angry, and hopeless. And because of the hardening of your physical heart, and also your spiritual heart, you are more likely to pass away in pain and frustration rather than Christian conversion. That is what the statistics would say. A 3% chance of an old person accepting Christ in their elderly years. Again, anything after 30 years old. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 3, just one chapter behind our opening scripture, we find a helpful word picture, I think, that enhances this point. The last half of verse 3 in chapter 11 says, whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Interesting thing about falling trees, whichever direction they are leaning before their collapse will be the direction they will fall and remain forever. And any tree that would be of any concern for falling would have to be an old tree of some size and then some stature. Now, two directions are given, north and south. Obviously, a tree can fall any direction it wants to. But I think the writer states two options to imply something deeper. I think trees here are symbolizing our aging human life. And the two falling directions imply two eternal scenarios open to mankind, either heaven or hell. And the human tendency would indicate that apart from a youthful experience with God, that is, remembering your Creator in the days of your youth, that the majority of older people who remain separate from Christ are leaning dangerously away from God, and in death will make that separation permanent. So in the case of a tree, I'm sure we've all had big trees that were like, I hope it doesn't fall because it's aiming right at my house. In the case of the tree, it would take a miracle of no small proportion to change a falling tree from the direction it's leaning. Perhaps a sudden ferocious gust of wind would redirect the tree, or maybe a shaking of the earth or something of that great magnitude. It's not likely, but it's still possible. It would be miraculous. The same is true for older people who have lived their whole life separate from Jesus Christ, who are now experiencing the growing calamity of old age, of pain and growing resentment, perhaps bitterness, or, towards the end, utter hopelessness. They lean further and further and further away from God in their despair, edging them ever closer to their eternal separation and destination, that is, separation from God. It would take a miracle to change their course. So thank God we're more than statistics. Thank God that He delights in just that kind of miracle. Thank God that He is merciful and patient. We could be an older person leaning ever increasingly toward destruction, but our hope is still there. We can change. If you are old and frustrated, angry and bereaved, or whatever other ailment you want to put in there, you don't have to keep leaning further and further away and die separated from God. You don't have to confirm that morbid data point. It's heartbreaking. You are more than a statistic. The gospel rings out to young and old, but I think you're especially old because your time is not long left on the earth. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. That's what Scripture says. The power of the gospel is the miracle that takes your hell-bent body that's leaning to destruction and completely changes the direction of its landing. The closing doxology in the small book of Jude, right there near the end of the Bible, speaks directly to this point. You are never too far gone. You are never too old. You've never done enough bad. You're never too much of a Scrooge-like curmudgeon to let God redeem you. Our hope rests in Christ, young and old. We cling to the truth of Christ as our only eternal hope. The closing in the book of Jude says, to him who is able to keep you from falling, and falling like that leaning tree toward destruction, instead of falling toward hell, he is able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That is the miracle. That's the marvel. Instead of falling into oblivion, separated from God, he instead brings us into his glorious heavenly presence. To the only God and Savior, it says, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. So be it. Now that is a great promise. That's a marvelous promise. That's a promise you can hang your hat on. You don't have to fall away from God, even though you're leaning precariously close to destruction. He is ready and willing to save you. Remember, where the tree falls, there it will stay for all of eternity. So in closing, I think there's three takeaways from all this. There's more probably, but I've got three. The first is just how vital is the influence and attention that we give to young people concerning the truth of God? That falls on all of us older people, as parents, as family members, as friends and mentors, as coaches and teachers, and any other influential capacity that we have as aged people of the land. You have a part to play. You have a very important part in the life of some or many young people. The young people under 30 years old are statistically the most receptive and likely to accept Christ in open-hearted faith. Be sure, those that you're influencing, that you're steering them in that direction. I can recall my own life. I've missed opportunities, and I know I've missed them. And you can probably think in your own memory of times where you thought of doing something, were inclined to do something, perhaps the Holy Spirit prompted you, and you ignored it. You can't get that back. But you can be sure not to repeat the mistake. To be sure, and this is a certain as the sun rising. Every other anti-Christian force at work in this world understands this important window of time in the shaping of a human's perspective and worldview. The youth, everybody is after the youth. The evil elements of this world are forcefully trying to indoctrinate the young. We see an unprecedented attempt in recent years for culture to pervert the children, to warp their minds and destroy their bodies. I mean, the obvious question is, why do you think there's been such an attack on the Christian family unit these last 7,500 years? Detach the child from a loving, stable family, and they become vulnerable and exposed to the sick human vultures of this world to be coerced and corrupted. So make no mistake, there is a battle for the souls of our youth. Secondly, piggybacking on that first point, as old people, myself included, we should take our place as willing and able instructors, as capable role models and caring mentors to these younger people, who statistically will be the bulk of any new spiritual revival in the land. I'm not limiting God by saying this. God, again, can do anything he wants. He can go to the retirement home or the, you know, wherever the elders gather, and revival can break out. I'm not limiting God. But from an observable standpoint, it seems to be the pattern he uses to revive the young. You need old farmers to bring in the new harvest. For instance, Greg Laurie would never have had the platform to make a movie about Greg Laurie and the Jesus movement if there had never been a Chuck Smith. God can do all things, and it would seem that God used that older man, Chuck Smith, to be the guiding hand in this youth-filled revival back in the late 60s, early 70s. And generally speaking, again, Chuck Smith was about 40 years old at the time of this, the height of this Jesus movement. And I'll let you in on a little secret here. You ask any 16-year-old, and they will quickly tell you that 40 is definitely old. Well, no comment, but if 40's old, well, 90, you got some moss growing on you. But it's not just with hippies in the 1960s that you find this pattern. We can go all the way back to the Great Awakening in the 1730s and find this same general ingredient. Jonathan Edwards was near 40 years old during the Great Awakening, a movement that had also had a profound and disproportionate moving impact on the youth of the land. So embrace your role as an elder. The young of the land needs you. Thirdly, if you're over the age of 30 and separated from Christ, from a statistical standpoint, the urgency could not be more dire. The tree of your life is leaning away from God, and where the tree falls, there it remains for all eternity. Defy the odds and come to Christ. Only you know the direction your life is leaning this morning. And you know, I mean, it's no secret, maybe you don't have to shout out and say it, but you know in your heart which way you're leaning. Have you experienced your Creator in the days of your youth? Have you called on His name in the days of your past? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or have you, as the years go by, have you grown further and further apart from His presence? And now you look in the mirror and you see an achy, wrinkled, bespectacled old man or woman with no enduring hope. How depressing, how awful, how tragic. Don't be a morbid statistic of death. Turn to the living Savior. Seek Christ while He may be found, while the aging heart of yours is still beating, and make sure that the only hard heart you have is just the physical one in your chest. It's probably getting hard. It will one day soon stop pumping. It will one day soon stop pumping, but in Christ, your spiritual heart has been transformed by the forgiveness and redemption of His name. He is the only one who can keep you from falling. He is the only one that can save your soul. So don't be a statistic that does not age well. Become a new creation in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we don't have to be a morbid data point. We can defy all odds, for You are gracious and patient, long-suffering. Even the most vile offender who places their faith in You can be restored into the kingdom of God. We thank You for that opportunity. We thank You that You are gracious to us. You are merciful. You give us what we don't deserve. Through Your love and redemption, we can find hope, peace, love, comfort, and everything else in our aging bodies that are breaking down. Slowly but surely, we are becoming aware that this earth will not be our home forever, that You have prepared in eternity that awaits. You have prepared resurrected bodies that will be fit for this eternity, and we can be in your presence forever. We thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.